The Holy Gospel is recorded in Mark, the 13th chapter. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, if we were looking for signs that prove the world is about to end, which Jesus in our gospel just told us not to do, there'd be plenty of signs of that, wouldn't there? The floods of this past year, the hurricanes in Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico, which still looks like this in many places of the island, or this, more refugees around the world. These refugees are from Myanmar. They're heading toward Bangladesh, fleeing to Bangladesh, a place that is itself a hellhole of human misery and has been for over 100 years, but there they go. The mass shootings that keep happening around the country, the constant conflict between politicians, not just in this country, but in Europe, in Korea, and all sorts of places. It's scary and threatening if you watch too much news, isn't it? It can leave people feeling vulnerable, victimized, polarized. It was in this kind of situation that Isaiah the prophet cried out to God, "Oh God, that you should just rip up on the heavens and come down!" In his day, the Israelites had returned from exile, but instead of gratitude, isn't this typical for the Israelites, instead of gratitude to God for the return home and a deeper commitment to God's ways of justice and mercy and peace, there was conflict, corruption, selfishness, greed, various groups jockeying for power positions and privilege and protecting their own. And of course, in the midst of all that horrible stuff, the question asked with much finger pointing was, who's to blame for this situation, for this mess we're in? Oh, that you would just rip up in the heavens and come down! Huh? Good God, where are you when we need you the most? Isaiah, he wanted this cosmic cop to come and restore justice and order, you know? A cop who would come down and demonstrate deeds of power like, he says, the parting of the Red Sea. Or a cop who would come down like the fire of Elijah that consumed not just the wood on his altar, but the stones as well, and the ground opened up and swallowed up all the false prophets of Baal, and even Queen Jezebel, that nasty Queen Jezebel, she fell like a splat on the pavement from her bedroom window, and then run over by a chariot and eaten by dogs. All that was left to bury of her was her skull. That's the kind of God power that Isaiah and his people wanted to witness. Or maybe a God who would stand up to the bullies of our time, huh? a God like my protector, Mikey Sather, when I was in third grade, he was the biggest, scariest bully in the whole school, Mikey was. But for some reason, he decided to be my protector from the other bullies in the school. Isn't that interesting? That kind of a God, a bigger bully than all the other bullies, who'd smash their faces for us. Oh, that you would tear up in the heavens and come down! God, are you even listening to us? Where are we when we need you? God, won't you even answer us? Well, God does answer. In the very next chapter, here's what he said to Isaiah and his people. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, here I am. I held up my hands all day long to a rebellious people. And still, they walked away in a way that was not good, following their own devices. Or as a bumper sticker I saw this past week said, if God seems far away, who moved? I don't know if you know this, but every year, dictionary.com announces the word of the year. And it was announced early to Associated Press this week by dictionary.com spokesperson Jane Solomon. It's going to be officially announced tomorrow. And the word for 2017 is complicit. Interesting, huh? And in announcing it, Jane Solomon said to Associated Press, Russian election influence, the ever-widening sexual harassment scandal, mass shootings, and the opioid epidemic have elevated the use in the online searches for the word complicit by 300% this year. It means, according to the dictionary, by the way, choosing to be involved in an illegal and questionable act, or choosing to remain silent and refuse to act while knowing that such an act is occurring. Complicit. Well, Isaiah would agree. He says, it's not just the bullies, it's not just the corrupt officials, it's not just the influence peddlers and the mass murderers who destroy and violate God's law who are complicit. It's all of us who are complicit, either by our action or our inaction, in defying or at least ignoring the will of God. In our complicity, either active or passive, Isaiah says this, we've all become unclean. Even our so-called righteous deeds, he says, are like filthy rags. We all faded like a leaf, and our sins, like the wind, are carrying us away. It's been pretty clear in Scripture, the readings this past few weeks, what God wants. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? And your neighbor as yourself. Or as God said through the prophet Amos, let justice roll down like waters and mercy like an ever-flowing stream. I like Eugene Peterson's translation of that passage. It says, do you know what I want? I want justice. Oceans of justice. I want fairness. Rivers of fairness. That's what I want. That's all I want. In last week's gospel, it says, you know, help the poor, visit the sick and those in prison. And when you do these things to the least of my brothers and sisters, it's as if you're doing it to me. Care for the orphans and the widows and the foreigners. Why? Because they are precious children of God, just like you and I. And remember the God of Moses says to us, do it also because you were once foreigners and outsiders yourselves. So yes, we are complicit, every last one of us, and all the things that are going on in this world. We're part of the systems of this world that oppress ourselves and others. 1 John says it this way, you know. If we say, hey, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive all our unrighteousness. The good news? It's not too late. Like Ebenezer Scrooge, we're given another chance to turn to the Lord our God, to start over and get ourselves shaped by God's loving will for our lives and for his world. After all, Isaiah says, God, you are the potter, we are the clay. We are all the work of your hands. You want to shape us into your image to be your love, your justice, your mercy, and peace in this broken world. Now, here's the unexpected and mysterious thing this week to think about for you guys. God will not just rip open the heavens and come down to put things right, to make us right or the world around us. God will not come in retaliatory strikes and in volcanoes and in earth-shaking deeds of power. No, isn't this interesting? Instead, the God who has all the power of the universe at his command comes gently, unobtrusively, as a vulnerable little baby in a manger. Isn't that the most unexpected and mysterious thing? Why would God come that way? I'm going to leave you to ponder that, what that means in this Advent season. But here's one thought to add to it. I was talking to Father Pat at St. Simon and Jude Friday. We meet regularly, he and I and Father Jerry across the pond. And they have this as their Advent theme: the world needs a stable influence. Interesting. You guys got it faster than me. It took me a while. I'm a little dense. Stable, got it? Stable influence. Let yourselves think how that reshapes us, reorients our attitudes, our fears, our distress about the condition of the world. And let it help us see ourselves not as victims of forces beyond our control, but empowered as agents of God to become, in Jesus, that stable influence. The world needs a stable influence. What might that mean for those who are open to being shaped by the potter's hand? How unexpected and mysterious.